The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 3rd, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Wow, it looks like we're coming into a mini heat wave here in Sonoma County. Well, I want to welcome everybody to Women's Spaces. I'm really excited about this morning's show. Joining me in the studio is Santa Rosa City Councilwoman Victoria Fleming. I'm truly looking forward to this interview because in my mind, you know, Victoria is serving her second term on the Santa Rosa City Council, and she's just doing an amazing job. And her story, I believe, is what inspires, I believe, other women to get involved in running for office. So we're going to have a good discussion about that, talk about some of her challenges, talk about how she began, how she became an activist. I mean, the woman has a great story, and she's also a single mother, so she has all those different challenges, and yet here she is in the forefront doing a great job on the city council and ran for a second term. I mean, it's just amazing to me. So I'm really looking forward to interview her. Also, I have some special announcements today. You know, the MLK Juneteenth event is happening, and I am very involved. I'm actually the vice president on the board. Don't ask me how I got there. I believe it's because Nancy Rogers, who spearheads all this, is my neighbor, and she gets me involved in all these different things. Well, Juneteenth is going to be happening on Saturday, June 15th at the Martin Luther King Jr. Park in Santa Rosa. It's going to be happening from 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. And this event is just going to be absolutely fabulous. And this year, they are so excited because we have the San Francisco band Pride and Joy. It's just an amazing group. It's a free event. It's family orientated. And it really gives you a sense of history with the African American community has gone through in order to become free of slavery. I mean, it seems like sometimes we're still in the same place when certain things happen, but the story of Juneteenth is amazing, and I really invite everyone to come out. That's going to be this about 2 weeks from now on June 15th. That's going to be at the Martin Luther King Park in Santa Rosa on Henley Avenue. And all the information that I talk about this morning is going to be on www.womenspaces.com. Well, this to me is one of the most exciting announcements I have to make. So mark your calendars for August 10th, 2024. What is so important about that? You know, here in Sonoma County, we are really blessed because we have a chapter of the National Organization for Women. It's called the Sonoma County Chapter. And we are going to be hosting, I mean, I'm so excited about this, I can't stand it. We're going to be hosting the California Conference. That means there's going to be all kinds of chapters coming into Sonoma County. It's going to be at the Church of the Roses over by Montgomery Village, and really, really excited about it. So mark your calendars for August 10th. We'll have more information as we go through the months. And also, I'm going to be having the president of the National Organization for Women, the California president. She'll be on in about 2 weeks. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. And there's going to be workshops and there's going to be speakers. And I got to tell you, you know, we are the home of the National Women's History Alliance. If it were not for Sonoma County, if it were not for women like Molly Murphy McGregor, we would not be celebrating Women's History Month for a whole month in March. So it's just amazing. And Molly McGregor is going to be one of the speakers, so I'm very excited about that. And we're going to have all kinds of wonderful speakers, wonderful workshops. And the good news is, you know, the little pledge I do, my self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power. Well, I can't believe it. We're actually going to open the conference with everybody reciting that. And that, to me, is going to be – actually, I'm going to have Anna Salgado, who also has a program here on KBBF, and she's also going to be reading the pledge in Spanish. So I'm really, really looking forward to that. So remember, mark your calendars for August 10th. I want to see at least 300 women in that at that conference. I mean, when you think about what's going on in this world and some of the rights that women are losing and some of the issues that are going around what we have had, you have to show up. You have to find out how can you get involved. Hopefully, this conversation that we're going to have this morning is going to inspire many, many women, if not anything, just to stand up and say enough is enough. One of the things that I have been noticing for myself, I was thinking how lucky we are. We live in a culture where they have all this media. So if something happens over here, like these tornadoes that are happening in Texas and all across that area, you can see immediately what's happening. And you can hear opinions on what's happening. And especially I was listening to Amy Goodman, you know, the show before this was talking that what's going on in Israel and Palestine. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, here we are in 2024. I mean, haven't we had enough wars? I mean, I was born in 1940. Since the day I hit the earth, let me tell you something, we've been at war. I think it's about time we stop. And the positive thing about having all this information on the media is that we can see the horror. I mean, I have a question in my mind. Who in God's earth ever gave anybody the right to decide that they're going to go over to another country and they're going to wipe them out? I mean, come on. We're the human family. We all share our Mother Earth, and it's time to cease fire, sit down, and start talking. You know, one of the things that I noticed when I first was raising my daughter, just like Victoria Fleming is also a single parent. I was also a single parent when I was going to Sonoma State. And all of a sudden, they had this thing where when you disciplined your child, now it was that you gave them a timeout. Okay, Susan, it's time for a timeout. And during that timeout, you let them sit in a room quietly, and then you go in and you would talk to them. Why can't we do that to have peace? Take a timeout, sit down, talk to each other, find out what we need, what we want, and how we can get there. I mean, it's a really simple solution. That's what's so problematic about it, that it's really simple. Peace is very, very simple. Time out, start talking. So that's a lot to think about, I know. I think about a lot of things. I mean, it's so discouraging to me when I think of what's going on in the world. Oh, my goodness. It's too heartbreaking for me. Well, you know, like we do every Monday, we do a segment on our history is our strength. Now, why do I do that? You know, why do I bring forward this history, particularly about women? Because we are standing on the shoulders of many women who took extreme chances to get us where we are. I mean, in order for us to get the vote, when you start thinking about it, I mean, women were put in jail and waterboarded for what? They just wanted to get the the vote. And so it's very interesting that we sit and we start thinking about our history and who evolved, who supported us and who gave us the idea. So let's go to the first person here, which I think is really interesting. And it was on June 1st, 1993, which I think is very interesting. Connie Chung becomes the second woman to co-anchor the evening news 17 years after Barbara Walters became the first in 1976. Now, when you think about this, Connie Chung, in June 1st, 1993, that's almost 30 years ago, I believe, she was the second woman to actually co-anchor an evening show. Now, when you turn the news on today, you don't just see one woman. It's the majority, looks like. There's so many women with opinions, and they're out there. In fact, some of the women are a little bit disappointing to me. You know, they don't recognize whose shoulders they're standing on, that maybe they can do a little bit more for peace. But so that's how it is sometimes. But here was Connie Chung, who was Asian. That in itself was a big step. So congratulations to her. And she was on for many, many years. And as you know, Barbara Walters was on for many, many years and also gave us The View, which is another interesting women's program. Well, another interesting person was Gloria Martin. She was a socialist, feminist organizer who began the Shakespeare and Martin booksellers. And that was the first time that women were all actually involved in the business of selling books. You know, you think, well, who was selling books before that? Well, most businesses most properties were all done by men because men had the right to sign contracts. Women did not have that right. In fact, it wasn't until 1970 that we even got credit cards. I remember when we moved up here and we were over on Alta Avenue, the first house I had, and my sister came with me, and the woman who was renting the house, she came up to my sister and said, "Do you ladies have a credit card?" And I looked at her, "What the heck's a credit card?" And my sister whipped out this credit card. Well, it turned out when she got her teaching credential, Citibank sent out credit cards to everybody. And there we were. We had a credit card, and she gave us the house, which I thought was very, was very, very lucky when you come to think about it. Well, and a birthday that I think is very important, and she was born on June 8th, 1900. 20 years before we even got the vote. I mean, but women had very little say in the early 1900s. And she made her transition in 1981. And that was, you're not going to believe this. I mean, when I found this out, I said to myself, you got to be kidding me. It was, she was born June 8th, 1900. Like I said, she made her transition in 1981. And that was Estelle Griswold. She was a birth control advocate and pioneer defendant of the Supreme Court case Griswold versus Connecticut. Guess what it was all about? They legalized birth control for married couples. Can you believe that they had that much control? That they had to go and pass a law, had to go to the Supreme Court to get the ability to be able to have birth control? Amazing. And what are they doing today in 2024? They're trying to take it away from us. I mean, all of a sudden, birth control became a negative. You know, one of the best things that happened on this planet is the fact that we have birth control, that we can control populations, that we can plan a little bit better. And then all of a sudden, all these different forces are coming and telling us women how we're going to take care of our bodies. And here you are, this woman who was born in 1900 and in 1965, she went in front of the Supreme Court and to legalize birth control in the privacy of your own bedroom if you're married. In other words, if you're not married, you couldn't have birth control back then. We have come a long way, ladies, and we really have to hold on to that. We really do. Well, like I said at the beginning, I was talking about when listening to Amy Goodman, it just breaks my heart when I listen about the war. You know, it just seems to me that here we are in 2024, you know, and I think about Robert McNamara when he came out with that book about Vietnam, that it was a mistake. And you have students right now that are protesting, and what they're saying is cease fire, sit down and talk about peace. What's the matter with that? I don't understand it. And I don't want to take a side. You know, I don't want to say this one is wrong and that one's wrong. We're all human beings living in this planet, and we need to understand that we have to come together. And we have to decide how we are going to live. Are we going to live in peace? Or are we going to continue in this nowhere? We're going nowhere. Really, we really are going nowhere when you start thinking about it. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And I found this great song by Jacqueline Sharp. And it's just, which song am I playing, Ken? I have to look at my schedule here. Let's see. Yes, we're going to play No More War, sung by Jacqueline Sharp. And I just think it's a great, great song to just kind of think about it. You know, and we all have a right to make a decision. You know, we all have choice. You know, we all have choice. And start thinking, what choice do you want? Do you want war? Do you want peace? I want peace. And that's why I try to encourage people, sit down, talk about things. You know, maybe one day. I don't know if it's in my lifetime, but I know one day we're going to get there. So we're going to go ahead and play that song, and when we come back, I will be interviewing Councilwoman Victoria Fleming from Santa Rosa. This is her second term, and I'm really, really excited. We're going to talk about her journey into becoming a councilwoman and all the different steps she takes, and hopefully in this conversation for the women out there, it might encourage you to start looking at if you want to run for office or you want to do something to contribute in your community, because here in Sonoma County, there are so many ways we can contribute, so many amazing organizations that you can become part of. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play No More War.
No more war, war never again. No more war. this message for you and me. No more war, war never again. United Nations, best hope of mankind. United Nations, best hope of mankind. What you built must never fall. It must be big enough for all. United Nations, best hope of mankind. You great powers, put away your pride. You great powers, put away your pride. Each new nation at its birth must share the riches of this earth.
I can dream, can I? No more war, never again. I love that. Well, for you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. Joining me in the studio this morning is Santa Rosa City Councilwoman Victoria Fleming. Welcome, Victoria. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for having me.
Well, I hope you don't mind. I'd just like to tell our folks that are listening just a little bit about you. Is that okay?
Of course.
Let's see. Where do we go? Where do we start? Victoria Fleming is a former member of the Sonoma County Democratic Central Committee who stands with the, I don't understand, leftist progressive movement that are becoming so popular. I don't understand.
I'm not sure where we got that one.
No, I'm not sure either. That's what I found on your website. She holds a bachelor's degree in women's studies from San Francisco State University and a master's degree in social work from UC Berkeley School of Social Welfare. In April of 2021, the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors appointed her to represent the county on the MTC Commission, the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. The MTC Commission not only includes our transportation system, but also includes housing development as well. This played a big part in the idea of stacked housing near the SMART train, and that Santa Rosa is currently implementing. What is that?
You know, I'm not really sure about that one, but I think that what we're talking about there is general planning that is encouraging transit-oriented communities, so housing, high-density housing near transit. So
to have it closer to the transportation, which makes perfect sense. It's almost like building the buildings with the businesses on the bottom and people living on top, kind of keeping all that in one area. Well, Councilmember Fleming serves at the Council District 4 as a registered Democrat. She is serving her second term, which is amazing. And this council that will, it, she'll be up, you only get to do two times, isn't that true, or is
no,
it three?
There's unlimited amounts of times if the voters are in support of that.
Do you think that you're going to run again, or are you looking at any other things?
I haven't decided yet.
That's a big decision.
It's a big decision. I'm sure we'll get to it in some more depth today. But
Well, would you like to add anything to this? I feel that this,
sure.
It was a little bit off.
I'm curious to know where some of that bio stuff come from. But what I would say is, like, you mentioned that I have a degree in women's studies, and my and that I was on the commission for the status of women. That was how I got my start. And so that one is important to me. I also served with the League of Women Voters and was on the Santa Rosa Community Advisory Board before I decided to run for city council in 2018.
Well, I think it's amazing that you were able to go through all those different experiences. You know, it's amazing. I mean, I've been on different commissions also, but I just got a little bit too old to do that. But, you know, it's very interesting when you start thinking about you running when Helen Rudy first ran. Mm-hmm. I worked very hard with her on her election, and we've come a long way since then, but it's still difficult to get women to run and to be on different.
Yeah, it was much more a novelty then than it is now, but yet we still encounter such a big barrier. And I was reading something the other day, and when I was thinking about coming on the show, because I read, you know, I have a Google alert for women in politics, and one of the things that I saw was that there's sort of a gap in political ambition amongst women. You know, you start to see more women running, but you don't see nearly as many women who think about running as men who think about running. And sort of, I think that has a lot to do with the images that we show of children, just to children of in the popular media. Like, my daughter's watching a cartoon show and the mayor is a man and all this stuff. And I just think that we have to be more intentional about what kinds of images in the popular media we're showing to children. And, I mean, for example, last week, a couple of guys wanted to meet with me to talk about something that was really important. And they wrote me an email saying, "Dear Councilman Fleming." And I was like, I don't know who that is, but.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just think that we sort of have this unconscious gender bias.
Well, let's go backwards a little bit.
Okay.
Let's start the beginning. I mean, here you are, a young woman. You're a single parent. You know, right now you have... Hello, Evie, if you're listening. You
know, she's in school right now. You know, she'd love it if she's listening.
Amazing. You know, 10 to me is one of the best... You know, when they start really talking to you, you really start understanding.
And they won't stop, right?
Right. It's amazing. Well, let's go back. Talk about your beginning. You know, how did you end up getting involved? What was the first appointment you had, and what did that do for you? Who appointed you, and how did you start moving forward with that idea?
Well, the start doesn't start with the first appointment, of course, but the start starts with an idea that percolates for a long time. When my daughter was about a year old, and I had been taking some time off from my psychotherapy business that I used to have, I had a little bit of more time, mental time. You know, I was exhausted, of course, as you are with a small child, but I had more mental energy than I had when I was working and helping people out as a therapist. And because I had roots in gender equality, I thought, you know, I saw the sign on College Avenue advertising the Commission for Status of Women was trying to promote anti-human trafficking, because it was January, which is when there's, you know, real uptick in human trafficking. And so I reached out to then Supervisor Shirley Zane, who was so gracious as to take a beating with me and give me that appointment in 2016.
And so. Well, she was amazing. You know, people had a lot of issues with Shirley Zane, but I'll tell you, she was out there. She was not afraid to speak her mind.
Indeed not. She's a very strong woman.
So that was your first appointment on the Commission of Status of Women. So what did that entail? What was their mission, and how did you get involved with that? I mean, what was your role as you got on the commission?
Yeah, my role was I became the officer at large, and I started with a couple of other wonderful women, Jessica Wood and Ariana Diaz de Leon. We started an affordable child care committee, because the Portrait of Sonoma had just come out the year prior in 2015. And we were kind of taken aback that Sonoma County ranked second out of 58 counties, only behind Marin, for most affordable places to obtain child care in the state of California. Can you believe that? I think at the time I was paying like $1,700 a month, and this is 8 years ago, for full-time child care. And that was the second most affordable you know, I mean, I'm sure that there are a range of different child care options available, but to get full-time child care for a two-year-old, it was that expensive. And so that really got me thinking that there had to be some policy interventions. There had to be more that could be done, not just at the state and county level, but maybe there was something that could be done at the municipal level to address child care affordability.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I went, my first school was Los Angeles City College in Los Angeles, and I went back to school as a single parent, and we tried to start a daycare center.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, you think that we were, I don't know what they thought. I mean, they were such resistant to it, we could not believe it.
Yeah.
We even found the money and the grant and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it was,
Richard Nixon vetoed universal preschool on the basis that it would erode the structure of family, a.k.a. allow women more freedom. And access
well,
to the economy.
That's like abortion allows us more freedom. They don't like that. We got
right.
too much freedom.
Right. But in this case, like you can see that it's without real moral, you know, backing. It's just, you know, about control.
So you start. It sounds like you started to get an idea of some of the issues that were going
yeah.
on, and some of the issues that not only were affecting other women, but were actually affecting you.
Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, at the time I was married, and it was, you know, I come from a place of relative privilege, and I want to acknowledge that in the situation that I was able to have childcare, I was able to do this volunteer work, and I was able to leverage that to try to do more for my community. But I just thought, you know, if this was happening in my life, and I was lucky to even have the care, there's such a lack of care available for small children. I mean, not only is it a problem for women, it's a problem for the entire economy. And it's just, so I did begin to get an idea that, you know, I looked around, municipalities weren't really doing anything about this in general. And then the fires hit in 2017. And I thought this was a moment where our city could pivot. We're the largest city between the Golden Gate and the Oregon State. And we were going to have an influx of building, of new ideas, a change in our population demographics, and that at this moment, there was nobody on the city council raising a child. Not a single person.
So was that what kind of spurred you, that you decided that you wanted to run for politics because you saw that in order to have an impact, you had to have a position like that?
I think you do. I think it's really helpful to not just do it because you want to do it, not just do it because you want a title. I think it's really important to do it because there's something specific you want to change. For me, a lifelong passion has been about increasing fair economic opportunity and fairness, not just for women, but for all people. And you see that across all the votes and positions I take. They're not always advantageous to people who might be supportive of me and might be in my best interest, but it's always about sort of a public health approach. How is this going to bring the most benefit to the most people?
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of compassion, a lot of empathy for other women and other people that go through certain things, that you feel that maybe you can have impact and maybe make some change.
Yeah, I think that if you have, you know, a set of principles and a good idea of what you want to do, then, and you're not too tied to the outcome in terms of your own benefit, then I think there is something that you can achieve.
So we're going to talk a lot about women in politics and how they can get involved in running, especially we're going to talk about one of your favorite programs. Myself, I believe I actually interviewed one of the main people from California Emerge.
Oh, yeah?
I'm really very impressed with the program. But when did you really decide, when you were on the commission on the status of women, and all of a sudden, what started going through your mind that you decided, I want to run for city council, I want to do this?
Yeah, so a couple months after the fire, you know, my family had been displaced for a couple of weeks. We didn't know if we were going to lose our home. When we got back, you know, I was just sitting there over the holidays. You know, half the district that I represent was burnt down. It was a really grim time. And I just felt compelled to, like many people in our community, to do something. And I thought this was something that I could do.
Well, you know, there's two things that sound like happy. You talk about it's grim time, which it was. I mean, you know, I remember that like it was yesterday. And also, it took courage. I mean, all of a sudden, you can't just all of a sudden run, you know. You
oh,
have,
no.
All
sure.
of a sudden, you have to go, you have to sit, okay, I want to run for office.
Yeah.
Where did you get the courage, and where did you get the all of a sudden the oomph that you're going to go and start talking to people and see if they'll support you?
Right. So, you know, I had been thinking about it in the background for quite a while, and I had done the Emerge California program in 2016 and finished in May of 2017. And I had walked away from that program just being it's a little bit like drinking from a fire hose. There's so much information, and it's all doable if you do it one step at a time. But I walked away from that being like, I don't know if this is something that I want to take on at this point in time. And so, you know, I had done all this preparation. I've been reading, you know, political biography since I was a teenager. I always had a real keen interest in it, but I just didn't quite know how. And I think that it all came together that I started to have some connections. I started to have a cause, and I had had the training. You know, there's that great Eleanor Roosevelt quote about preparation. Like, if you prepare with the resources, I'm going to butcher it, but if you prepare with the resources you have, you might just be able to achieve it. But if you don't prepare, you can't do it. And so I was really lucky in that I had been prepared, and then the opportunity presented itself.
Well, that's interesting. So Eleanor Roosevelt kind of gave you a little bit of an oomph, you know. I mean, she was definitely a courageous woman. So mm-hmm. I would think of her. She's actually one of my heroes. I have three heroes. I have Eleanor Roosevelt, I have Ida B. Wells, and Sojourner Truth.
Oh, that's a good set of
women.
And
whenever I get stuck and I get afraid of something, I think of Ida B. Wells. I think of her going in and doing that reporting on all these lynchings and... it's just your mind then. And then the second step was to overcome overwhelm. It sounds like once you went through Emerge California, you go, oh my God, there's all this stuff I have to do and blah, blah. How am I going to do it? And then you just decided to do it.
Yeah. So I think I decided a couple of times. So I decided that I wanted to do it and I did the program. And then I was like, oh geez, this is a lot. And then I took some time to really think about it. And then the second point in time was when I just felt that it was more important than whether or not I was scared.
Let me ask you a question, because I was very, very much involved with district election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
I actually had on the banner of the Press Democrat. They put my picture on. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because we were very involved in the district election.
Uh-huh.
And you're the kind of the first generation that mm-hmm. actually you could work in a district rather than the whole county. Am I correct?
Yeah. In fact, I'm the first person to be elected directly to a district without serving at large.
So how do you think that felt? You know, how was that? Did that make it easier for you more?
Well, I can't say because I never ran at large. I worked on other at large campaigns for other people. And I know that, you know, I've certainly had to raise and spend, unfortunately, you know, it's kind of sad, the same similar amounts of money as at large districts. It really depends on the district. I live in a district that's very involved and very contentious and in a certain way, you know, kind of purple. You know, I've got a very progressive part of it and a somewhat more moderate part of it. And so there's always it's always going to be kind of a fight to see who holds that district seat. So I don't know that my experience is emblematic of other district elections, but I'll say that in watching my colleagues, and we're coming up on the first set of re-election, I've had my re-election, but the first set of re-elections for anybody else besides me this year, I think we're going to start to see that for many people it's a lot less expensive and less challenging because the pool is smaller and the amount of people with whom you need to communicate is significantly reduced.
Well, that's good to hear because we worked very hard on that. I mean, that was really... And then it failed the first time that we tried to get it
right.
out. And then all of a sudden, all this chaos that happened to get it on.
Yep.
Well, listen, my love, we're going to take a musical break. And the song that I picked, I really had you in mind when I picked it. And it's called We've Come a Long Way, Ladies. And it's sung by Earth Mama. And Earth Mama is one of my favorite. I've had her on the show several times. And she's the one who wrote Standing on the Shoulders. And I'm standing on the shoulders of all the women that come before me. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. And we'll get into the California Merge. I know this is one of your favorite programs. And talk about some other issues around women in politics. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play You've Come a Long Way.
Sometimes the hand that rocks the cradle has got to rock the boat. It's a line that I remember from the diary Grandma wrote as she rode the train to Washington to stand and speak her mind. She made some waves that brought a change and made a mark in time. Long way, ladies. we've come a long way, ladies, and we still got a ways to go. Once more those waves of change are moving from sea to shining sea. Women and men are talking with a new honesty about freedom and choices, and how no one has to lose. The doors to the club are opening. God knows we've paid our dues. We've come a long, long way, ladies. From no vote and high button shoes to the Capitol steps and the evening news. From women's wrongs to women's rights, it's a rough and rocky road. We've come a long way, ladies, and we've still got a ways to go. We've come a long way, ladies. No vote and high button shoes to the Capitol steps that lead to news. From women's wrongs to women's rights, come a long way, ladies, and we've still got a ways to go. We've come a long way, ladies.
Yes, we still have a long way to go. Not only do we have a long way to go, but we've got a few things that we have to clear up. You know, it's so interesting, and I think we've come a long way, baby. I think of some of the women that are on. Say some of the news stations, you know, I think they forget whose shoulders they're standing on. I think they forget about what it means to be a feminist, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a mother, what it means to be, you know, an aunt, to care for children, to care for the future for all of our children. You know, there's a lot to think about. There really is. There really is a lot to think about. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm in conversation. I'm very proud to be in conversation with Councilwoman Victoria Fleming, who serves Santa Rosa, I believe the 3rd District.
District 4.
District 4? Mm-hmm. Oh, excuse me. I'm District 4. Who is District 4 now?
Me.
You're District 4, and that who, what the supervisor that appointed you?
Oh, it's elected.
Oh, it's elected. Oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting confused. Who was it that put you on the Commission of the Status of Women? Was
that
Shirley
was Zane.
Zane? Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I'd like to do a shout out for her. Shirley, we miss not seeing you. If you're listening. Well, let's start talking about, you know, one of the things, one of the questions that you put on, I ask people to give me 5 questions when they do the interview. And you talked about, one of your questions was something about gender parity. Can you talk a little bit about that? And how does that influence women running for office or not running for office?
So I think that I might have been talking about equality, economic equality, or it's possible that I was talking about gender parity in terms of representation. I think that we're getting to the point where we're starting to see some closing of the gap on gender parity, both at the state legislature. This might be the year that we have an equal number of women and men in the state legislature. But I think that until our communities start to have equal representation on every board and commission along the way, that we're not going to have decisions that reflect the communities that are being governed. But for me, a lot of my focus is on economic equality and making sure that we set conditions really allow for women to do well.
Well, we just listened to You Come a Long Way, Baby, and Victoria Fleming is definitely an example.
No, thanks. No. I just got a cough drop.
Victoria, my love, we are live.
I know.
We are live, and everything happens. Sometimes we go off the air. Sometimes somebody coughs. You know, don't even give it a second thought. Okay, let's talk. Let's talk about your second term, and let's talk about the California Merge. What mm-hmm. what is that program, and what did it do for you as far as a woman goes and as far as running for office?
Yeah, so right after I got on the Commission for Status of Women, February 14th, 2016, there was an event, an anti-domestic violence event at SRJC in Bertoloni Hall. And I went, and this woman, such a force, just got up there and started talking. Her name's Kimberly Ellis. And now,
oh, yes, Kimberly. I interviewed Kimberly.
Yeah. She is now the head of the Commission on Status of Women in San Francisco. And she just made this kick-ass speech. And I thought, wow, I want to do what that woman does. And so I applied for Emerge California, and I completed the program, as I mentioned earlier. And then... Oh, thanks a bunch, Ken. Got some water, folks. So I did the program. I ended up running for office, as I mentioned for earlier in the program. And then about a year ago, over the summer last year, I saw in my email that they were recruiting a Northern California director. And I'd been working at the county crisis unit at the psych hospital as a social worker for a few years, and been in private practice before that and done all kinds of things. And I thought, you know, this could be my chance to really work in politics and gender equality, which is something that I've always wanted to do. And so, you know, even though I didn't have a lot of job experience doing this one thing, I applied and I got the job. And so now I've been there since September, and it's just been an awesome opportunity, and we're finishing graduating our first class back in person after COVID. And then next week, on Monday, a week from today, we open our application period, and it'll be open for 2 months. And any woman in California who's a registered Democrat can apply to our program, and you can go to our website at emergeca.org. And you can nominate a woman leader that you know, somebody that you think might be a good candidate, or you can recommend, or you can ask to apply for on your own. So there's two different tabs for that, and it's on the landing sheet when you get there.
Okay, so now I have to stop you for a minute. So now you are working for California Emerge.
I work for Emerge California, that's right.
Oh, it's called Emerge California. What is your position?
I'm the Northern California director.
So you actually recruit women, talk to them, bring them into the fold to take the classes?
And organize and provide the trainings.
Of your experience, what was the biggest benefit that a woman would get out of going to that program?
The network of other women to rely on when you're running for office and also when you're governing.
What do you think is the biggest challenge for women when they first start thinking about it, but yet they won't do anything?
Fundraising.
You think that's the biggest thing?
I think it is. Well, I think that there's a psychological barrier of getting to the point of saying, yes, me, I'm going to do that. Women are not taught to stand up and say, I'm the most qualified person that I can think of to do this job. So first you have to get to that point of just unabashedly being willing to take up space, you know, to sort of man spread into the world.
What you said at the beginning of the interview, you talked about all the different, you worked with the League of Women Voters, you worked with the Commission on the Status of Women, you worked on a few other organizations that you were a part of. Do you think that helps build that confidence? So,
and we definitely recommend that. Absolutely. It helps build confidence, but it also builds the legitimacy that's necessary to eventually run for and win elected office. I mean, if you come in, you know, off the street, cold, without any network, it's very difficult to fundraise. It's very difficult to establish yourself as a credible candidate. Those things are all actually part of running for office.
Well, that's interesting. So the first barrier is the fear about the fundraising.
I think that the first barrier is figuring out how to get started and psychologically getting to the point of thinking that this is possible. And then when you get there, then to the point of fundraising, I think for women asking for money is really hard.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you start thinking. I believe in possibility thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that anything is possible if you set your mind to it. If that's really what you want to do and you go for it, I mean, I think you're definitely an example of that.
Well, thank you.
That, you know, you decided you were going to do something and then you did it. So let's go back just a little bit. You are a single parent. You know, you have a 10-year-old little girl, you know, Evie. I mean, I just love that name. My sister's name is Evelyn, and we call her Evie, E-V-I-E. So Evie is a very special. Actually, my grandmother was Ava, and we call her Evie.
Cute.
But how do you balance your life? I mean, what are some of the major challenges that you really experience, not just as a city councilwoman, but as a woman in position of city council? I think there's only one more. There's two. There's
women, three right? women on the three city women, council right? now. Yeah, it's so much better than when I was the only woman on city council, which has happened. So your question is how has it been challenging specifically as a woman? I think that there's a different way that you have to be in the world to be effective as a woman, because I see my male colleagues, wonderful people, say things and do things in certain ways that I'm not sure would go down so well if I was as direct or as blunt. And trust me, I've tried. I'm a pretty direct person. So I've learned through experience that that you kind of just got to know your audience, and you got to figure out what is tolerable to them within the setting that you're in. But I think you're were more asking me about work-life balance, and I think that work-life balance, you know, this assembly member that I know, Pilar Chavo, was doing a panel, and she talked about work-life balance, and she said that it's kind of a way just to make women feel bad, this notion of work-life balance, because I don't know too many women who have achieved work-life balance and feel really good about it. You know, I think that it's one of those things that if you want to have a big career and you want to raise a family, you know, you're not going to do it really well. James Clear is this really great podcast, or he writes blogs, and I think he might do it. He wrote a book that he reads. It's great, called Atomic Habits. And one of his newsletters that he sent out a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, if you're doing a lot of things, it's really hard to do them all super well. And I think that that is true of the predicament of the modern woman. And I think just trying to let go of being perfect, of doing everything perfectly, is a really important thing for a lot of women. You just got to keep going.
It's interesting, you know, when I think that perfectionism, you know, like, it never fails. I remember when I was in the world, I was a corporate sales manager, and I had to work three times as hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was no doubt in myself, and I had to watch the salaries always to make sure that I was getting my equal, my portion that I was supposed to, and it was a struggle standing up. But the thing is about standing up and allowing yourself to speak out. Once you start doing it, you know, you get used to it. You realize you're not going to die, you know. And one of the tricks that I learned in public speaking is that when that adrenaline hits you, you know, just before you're going to go on and speak, all of a sudden you get that rush. I was told, ride it like a wave. Oh, yeah, here comes my energy. Now I'm just going to just jump on it and, you know, just go for it. And by the time I'm ready to speak, I'm calmed down.
That's great.
Well, not to fight it. Because you are going to be nervous. In fact, it's interesting with public speaking and stuff like that. When I was going to Los Angeles City College, the only way I could get my AA degree is I had to take public speaking. And I was terrified. But like yourself, you know, all of a sudden you get involved, you do it. And I end up being on the forensic team. So then I really learned, because the teacher made us debate what we believed, the opposite. In other words, if I was for something, I couldn't have debated. I had to debate things that I was against. And that was good practice to get your confidence up. Well, we've come to the end of our segment. This has just been a wonderful, wonderful conversation. I want to give you the last few minutes to anything that's on your mind that you'd like to share. Give the information again about the California Emerge. I mean, I think that's a fabulous program. And congratulations that you, again, another decision you made, decided, oh, I can do that. You know, I'm going to try for that. I mean, that to me is what we need from each other as women, to inspire, to just, hey, maybe I can do it, maybe I can't. But if I don't try, I'll never know.
Yeah, I think that you said that's perfect. You said, if you don't try, you'll never know. And I would leave that out there for anybody who is thinking about something. If you don't go for it, you won't know. And so don't let that be the limiting factor. And I will say one more time that Emerge California provides a 6-month intensive program. It's a couple days a month for 6 months. The topics covered are fundraising, media, mail, messaging, strategy, and you learn everything you need to know to run a campaign, a successful campaign, and you'll gain a sisterhood of, I'm proud to say, after next week, we'll have graduated 1,000 people in the 22 years that we have been operating. And so if anybody's interested or you know someone's interested, please visit www.emergeca.org, emerge, emergeca.org. And applications will be open until August 11th.
Well, Victoria Fleming, City Councilwoman from Santa Rosa, I want to thank you for such a wonderful, interesting interview, for answering all my questions, and for being here. And I just really appreciate you. And to my listeners, you know, remember, all the information that we've discussed here will be on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. One last thing, Victoria, how can they get a hold of you? Do you have an email or do you have a website or what?
Yeah, I have a city email is vfleming, V-F-L-E-M-I-N-G, at srcity.org for issues regarding the city of Santa Rosa. And if you're interested in Emerge California, you can email me at victoria@emerge, E-M-E-R-G-E-C-A.org.
Well, thank you, Victoria Fleming. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Wow. I'm telling you, the women in this community are amazing to me, and I'm so excited that I actually finally had Victoria Fleming, who is a councilwoman here in Santa Rosa, to come in and share her experience. And, you know, I feel very inspired just listening to her. And remember, all the information she gave us is on www.womenspaces.com. And now, you know, there's a song I want to play that I just love. I just think it's one of the greatest songs that I've heard. It was written originally by Kate Wolf, and I think we're going to listen to, I'm not sure who's singing it right now.
Sherry Austin? Yeah.
Oh, we're playing it by Sherry Austin. We're going to play Brother Warrior, and then we'll come back and we'll have a few words and say goodbye.
Gentle warrior, with your heart like gold and a rainbow in your eyes. Brave companion, do you see a world shining in the sky? With your body dancing like an arrow, spreading joy beneath your feet. And your hands wave like tall grass in the wind as you speak, with the shyness of a small child and the wisdom of a sage. I tell you now, there is no reason. Brother warrior, there are none of us who walk this path alone. Spirit healer, it's the only life that we have ever known. And I see your smile in the sunlight. I hear your songs in the rain, and I hold you here inside me. Feel your love, know your pain. At this time, when the earth is waking to the dawn, there's no reason to be afraid.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I just had the privilege and honor of interviewing Victoria Fleming, Santa Rosa City Councilwoman, a wonderful winner interview. We just played Spiritual Brother Warrior by Sherry Austin, and that we are our sister and brother warriors on this planet trying to make sense of a better world. And like I do at the end of every show, I remind my listeners that our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. And when you start listening to the news or you start hearing anything angry and frustrating, ask yourself, how can I become a peacemaker?
A woman's feelings are the woman in your life. She can feel so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. And who is sure to give you courage, and who will surely make you strong, who will bear all the joy that is coming to you, if not a woman in your life? Has she someone to pursue? She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 3rd, 2024.